You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
And just living the dream. Hope you are too. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. We're glad you could join us today and invite you to share your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or via email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. A few days ago, I had a chance to talk to a gentleman named Cody. Cody is a successful businessman. He's been in business about, well, more than 20 years, and he has built two successful businesses, sold one of them off, and is still operating one. And he's well off financially. He didn't tell me exactly how much he was earning, but I can guesstimate, having sold off a business and running another one successfully, he's probably got a seven-figure income. Maybe so, maybe not. But nonetheless, he's definitely financially secure right now. And when we were talking, he was working from home and letting his operations manager run the business that they currently run, and we talked for about 2 hours. And the reason why we were talking for about 2 hours is that he, in his early 50s and a successful businessman, was unsure about what God wanted him to do next in his life. So he had actually purchased a Career Direct assessment from me, and we had a conversation, a consultation regarding that assessment after he had completed the assessment that Crown Ministries puts out there that's designed to do exactly what I do here on Career Callings. That's help people understand what God called them to do, what kind of work God made them for, and help them understand how to apply that to the next steps in their lives. So when we got done with the consultation, he sent me a very kind email, short and sweet and to the point, but it basically said this: thank you for the consultation today. I have to admit, I had low expectations going into the meeting. However, I found our conversation to be insightful, and I'm looking forward to moving forward with the suggestions we discovered during the process. So he was very happy with that. And the reason I bring Cody up is to share with you a couple things during our conversation that I thought would be very worthy for all of us to hear. Because you think to yourself, you know, guy in his early 50s, couple of businesses behind under his belt, doing well financially, seems like he has it all together. But he's got the same questions that people of all different spectrums of life have from time to time. What is my next step? And for the Christian, that question is, what is God's next step for me? And although I could talk a lot about what we discussed in a two-hour period, I kind of want to focus on two things in particular that I think we can all learn from as I gathered this information from my conversation with Cody. The number one lesson I want to talk about is the need to delegate. And the number two lesson I want to share is understanding that you have something to offer. And let's start with the need to delegate. During our conversation, Cody basically identified himself as a self-proclaimed micromanager. And if you are that person, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever worked for that kind of person, you know what I'm talking about. That person who just kind of hovers like a helicopter over the back of your neck, just making sure that you did everything right, crossing every T, dotting every I, can be quite frustrating and somewhat controlling, and he acknowledged that he had that tendency. He found out a few years ago that his business actually ran better without him at the helm every day. He had been practicing for years, being in the office every day, micromanaging everybody. But for various reasons I won't get into on the show here, he had to step away, and he had to let someone else take the reins. So he let an operations manager take the reins, and when he did that, he learned that the operations manager was much better suited to run the business than he was. And after he stepped away from the day-to-day grind, his business actually made more money and did better. And he learned during that process that he had much more of a passion and much more of a propensity for the strategic planning side of the business as opposed to the day-to-day side of the business. So once he stepped away, he was able to focus more on the strategic planning side, communicate that with his operational manager side, and the two of them, able to excel in what they do the best, were able to grow the company even better and better. And the insight to that is this, and this was the application to all of us. Whatever career calling the Lord has given you, whatever career calling the Lord has given me, we're just plain outright foolish to think that we can accomplish that work all on our own. We can't. We need to focus on whatever the Lord designed us to do, and we ought to do that. We ought to do that with focus and attention, and then seek help from others to do those things that we don't do as well, just like Cody discovered by happenstance in his situation. Not only will that help us achieve God's goals faster and better, it'll absolutely reduce our stress. I mean, that was one of the things that Cody mentioned to me in the consultation, is how much more enjoyable his life was because he did not have the stress that comes with that micromanaging. He was such a self-proclaimed perfectionist that the micromanaging was a necessity in his mind to try to make sure everybody else on his team was achieving his idea of perfection. Once he realized they could not do that, that created a lot of stress for him. But once he stepped away from that situation, the stress level went down a lot. Now, just to make sure we root everything we say here in biblical reasoning or biblical scripture, Cody's experience is not new. And if you've had that kind of experience, it's not new to you as well. It happened to Moses, as well as many other people in the Bible. But if you pulled out your Bible and turned to chapter 11 of the book of Numbers and looked through verses 14 through 17, you'll see what Moses said. The nation of Israel had grown to such a size, and the burden of leading that people was so heavy that Moses was so stressed out, he basically said this, and I'm giving you the Robbie Romeiser paraphrase here. But if you read these verses, Numbers 11, 14 through 17, you'll see it for yourself. Moses basically said this, "Lord, kill me. I can't handle this anymore." I mean, he had gotten to the point where he was literally pulling his beard out. Just wanted to die because it was too much. And God responded to him by giving him help and managing the people, just like he'll give us help to achieve his goals if we ask. Now, the second insight I gathered from Cody's discussion was this, understanding that you have something to offer. During our consultation, it became pretty apparent that Cody had a desire to teach other people how to achieve success in business like he had achieved. But he had never pursued the idea, and when I asked him why he had not, he responded this way. He didn't think he had much to offer. And he gave his reason for that is that he grew up with an alcoholic father in the household, and he had a low self-esteem problem. And I sympathized with Cody when he said that, but then I proceeded to grab a club and beat him upside the head. Because if you've built two successful businesses and you're successful in the way he is, not only was he successful in business, he had a great family, so he had it pretty much all together, how could you not have the knowledge and insight to share? And I tried to help him understand that. And sadly, a lot of us have that same problem, same attitude. I think that's the kind of thinking that the devil wants to put in our place, because we all have something God has given us to share with the world, and that's where our career calling meets God's design. Now, I'm not suggesting we should be arrogant or proud about what we have to offer the world. What I am suggesting is that God gave each of us at least one gift to share with the world for the betterment of others and for His glory. And your career calling and mine is found when we acknowledge that gift, put all human reasoning aside, get out of the way, and let God flow His power through that gift so as to benefit others and to bring others to Himself through us. Now, Maestro, I got a question for you. Regarding Cody's fear here, You know, I think Cody's fear was kind of irrational there. I mean, understandable, but I think a lot of us all have that irrational fear that keeps us from doing things, and Satan plays that. But let me talk about, let me ask you, have you ever heard of another fear called coulrophobia?
No. Fear of air conditioning?
No. Coulrophobia is not the fear of HVAC. It is the fear of clowns. Did you know that coulrophobia can include sweating, nausea, feelings of dread, fast heartbeat, crying or screaming, and anger at being placed in a situation where a clown is present?
Well, as long as they don't get too close to me.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Fine.
And I never really understood how people could develop a fear of clowns until I was watching an episode with my kids of a show called Good Mythical Morning, which I've mentioned many times before on the show, and I'll link to this clip that we're about to play on my website, careercallings.net. But this is how, I guess, somebody could develop a fear of clowns.
Next question. All right, this one's from Livy Pines. She asks, what happens when you see a bear?
This is actually a really deep and complicated question, but thankfully, we have a segment to answer really deep and complicated scientific questions.
We do.
With really intricate scientific explanations.
We like to call it amazingly amazing science.
What happens when you see a bear?
When you see something you perceive as a threat, it triggers your body's fight or flight response.
The fight or flight response is your body's way of helping you survive.
First, it activates your adrenal gland, releasing adrenaline into your bloodstream.
That adrenaline shuts down all the systems in your body that you don't need, like your digestive system, and diverts all the extra energy to the organs that will make you as strong and fast as possible, like your heart and lungs.
Think of it this way. Your body is a birthday party, and the adrenaline is a clown.
When he's blowing up a balloon animal for little Timmy, it's just like your adrenaline diverting more energy to your heart and lungs.
But just like the adrenal gland, this clown is selective about who he gives his balloon giraffes to.
He certainly doesn't give any to the Wojciechowski twins, Jerry and Kyle. They're the small and large intestines of this party.
Unfortunately, Jerry and Kyle's parents don't appreciate favoritism, so they decide to write an unsavory Yelp review.
But the party clown can't abide bad Yelp reviews, so he begins to stalk Mr. and Mrs. Wojciechowski.
He watches them from the bushes when they go to sleep at night, creating a creepy breath fog on their bedroom window.
He builds giant balloon versions of Jerry and Kyle's parents, then invites all of his clown brethren to dance around the parental effigy balloons.
All at once, the sadistic jesters raise their comically large safety pins to the night sky, and suddenly, pop, go the parents. That's kind of like what fight or flight is. So the next time you see a bear, don't worry about the bear, worry about the giant devious party clown coursing through your veins. He's always there, just below the surface, watching, waiting. His name
is Bubbles.
I now suffer from coulrophobia. See you on the other side of the break.
I'm talking to Kevin Berg with Big Sky Enterprises. And Kevin, tell me how you see Teach Me Morpheus benefiting your business.
We've been in the construction industry for over 15 years. We do everything that a homeowner could ever want or need in the construction industry. It's important to us to take care of our clients, and a lot of these small repairs are something that most people could do with a little bit of instruction. I can post my videos online as an added value to my customers, and this frees me up to be able to do bigger jobs like kitchen and bath remodels. Teach Me Morpheus is an additional revenue stream for Big Sky Enterprises and a great way to empower our clients. It creates customer loyalty, plus it's really good at the end of the day to be able to help somebody do something they didn't think they could do.
Help your customers. Make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Or Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. That's how you can share your questions, comments, suggestions with Career Callings. And I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Glad to have you back from the break. Hopefully you did not have to or did not feel compelled to hide underneath the bed after our sadistic clown Bubbles attacked the parents of the Wojciechowski twins on the previous side of the break. If you missed that, I highly recommend that you go to careercallings.net and get a link to that episode of Good Mythical Morning on YouTube. Those guys are outstanding and very, very, very talented, and I want to do everything I can to support their show there. So I definitely encourage you to do that. Now, Maestro, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Have you ever received stinky career advice?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable sharing the stink?
Well, one time I was invited to come work for a Christian magazine, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We put one out once a month. And they were just getting started and wanted to get involved in it. And I got involved, and it lasted about 6 months.
Okay. Okay.
You know, and I did a lot of interesting things while working in that job. But it was, you know, I guess I learned some things and then moved on.
What was the bad advice that came from that?
The bad advice was getting involved in it to begin with. Just I needed to.
You really ought to take that job.
Yeah,
you're broke.
Yeah,
you're broke.
This will be great. This is what you've always wanted.
Not happening. No, I hear you. Yeah, I think if you have any amount of life behind you, you probably have had at least one, if not several, pieces of stinky career advice that has been given to you, which is why this article caught my attention. It's called, or it's titled, 15 Professionals Share the Worst Career Advice They've Ever Gotten. This is from a lady named Kelsey Manning. She wrote for a website called Levo League. It was reprinted on businessinsider.com, and it was pretty interesting. Now, I'm not going to have time to necessarily go through all 15 of these bad career pieces of advice, but several of them did catch my eye. Some of them are pretty common to hear. Others are a little bit more unique, and we'll talk about that when we get there. But the first one is one I think a lot of people do believe, and I would agree that it's erroneous career advice, though. Number one, hard work alone equals success. And that on the surface sounds great, but this is what this particular person, a lady named Keisha Blair, co-founder of Aspire Canada, this was her response to that type of career advice. She said basically that there are so many factors that contribute to career success, such as being a team player, having soft skills, and fitting into the company culture. And there are a lot of other factors. I mean, soft skills, by the way, basically boils down to being able to interact with other human beings. And the way we said it on my kindergarten report card, it was called getting along and playing well with others. That's basically soft skills in a nutshell. And there are a lot of people. Matter of fact, if you read a lot about the skills that many millennials are lacking, not to necessarily pick on them, but I mean, it's just kind of where we are. And my daughter, my oldest daughter, is such, and we'll be entering into her senior year of high school. Soon we'll be going to college, and not long after that, or sometime during that time, be going off to, you know, try to get a job. You know, a lot of millennials, having grown up in a world of electronics and being glued to the electronic devices all the time, do have a difficulty interacting with people. So, You might be a hard worker and not have any soft skills, might not fit into the company culture. You might be a hard worker as a Christian. Maybe you're in a company culture that hates Christianity, and they know you're a Christian, and they persecute you for that reason. That's going to be difficult for you to stay there for any length of time. So all these factors do come into play. Also, a dog chasing its tail is working really hard, but not accomplishing anything. So hard work alone does not make your success. It certainly contributes to it if you work hard in the right direction, but all these other factors mentioned here do come into play as well. Now, this one I love. Date the boss's daughter. That was one piece of career advice that a guy named Bruce Hurwitz, an executive recruiter, had received, and he does state clearly, no, I did not do that. But that was the advice he got. Date the boss's daughter. Number three, or I should say next, it's actually not number three on the list, but next, flirt with my financial advisor clients to get cases, sales, and to strengthen quote-unquote relationships. Camera Teufelo did not do that. And she refused to do that, but that was a piece of career advice she had been given. And I would highly recommend that you not do that. That is not the way to build a career long term. Next, now this one shocked me. Young lady named Louise Kelly actually spoke three languages. She was going for a job in Southern California, which is very international in many respects. A lot of people from a lot of different cultures kind of conglomerate down in that area. And she had been told by a career coach not to mention in her cover letter and resume that she was trilingual. And he actually said, quote unquote, nobody cares about that. They think you're a lightweight if you mention it. Hello, what an idiot. And Louise said, yeah, I considered that guy an anti-mentor. Anything he told me, I did the exact opposite, and things were much better for me. So why would you not promote the fact that you can speak three languages? Such a unique skill set that opens up so many opportunities career-wise. Now, this one's good. Horses are a hobby. You can't make a living with them. A lady named Terry J., who is now a professional horse whisperer, responded to that bad career advice this way. Not only have I made a living with horses my whole life, the horse industry itself is worth $112 billion a year. That's billion with a B. You know, that just takes me back to the biblical verse, and I did not think to write down the exact reference, but it basically goes like this. In all labor there is profit. If the Lord has called you to a particular type of labor, a particular type of work, there's profit in it. If you know, you just need to go figure out how to make a profit in it. So if the Lord's given you something like that to do, that just research. Take the time to research the industry, and the Lord will show the doors or open the doors he wants you to walk through. This one does not deserve much comment other than what I'm about to say, but this is the bad career advice. Take the first job offered to you out of school. If you do that, there's a good chance you'll end up like Maestro did in that job where he just took it and turned out to be miserable. That's not a good reason to take a job just so you can get your first dollars. That's not cool. Make sure that you have you have the skills to help out those people. Make sure they're a good fit for you, that they can support you and your growth. Make sure that the company culture fits. There's a lot to it rather than just the paycheck. Next, Kiki Scher, a marketing officer with a company called Fitter, said this. The worst career advice I ever got was after I was passed over for promotion. They were explaining why I was not retail management material, and I kid you not, they finally told me, if you're not willing to yell at your employees, you're clearly not passionate about your job. And she says that I'm actually grateful for the advice. It made me realize I needed a new career. That's good. That's exactly what it would have done for me too. You know, don't act counter to the way God made you. He's given you a certain kind of personality, as well as skills, abilities, passions, but personality as well. And if you're in a position chasing a paycheck in a job that will totally make you miserable because you're acting contrarily to the way God naturally designed you, you're going to be miserable. And you should find work that does not combat your natural wiring, but complements it. Compliments. Years ago, this fellow says, I was told that it was too risky, too difficult, too impossible to become a comedian. This was Steve Wozniak. And since that time, Steve has performed for President Obama, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and a bunch of other luminaries. And he makes a good living, having traveled to 24 countries on 5 continents as a comedian. And he says basically this: a lot of people are afraid of out-of-the-box opportunities because they themselves are too afraid to do something risky. So they validate their own decision to stay put by putting down others. Don't listen to them. Follow your passions. And that's where I'll end with that article there. There's a few others I did not touch on. But I would encourage you to link. I will link over to that at careercallings.net/radio. I encourage you to check that out. One thing I want to share with you before we wrap up today's program is the story of Dick and Rick Hoyt. Maestro, are you familiar with Dick and Rick Hoyt?
I might be. Is it a father-son?
It is a father-son. Many people have heard of Dick and Rick. And I saw an article not long ago. Actually, it was April 2014 from the Boston Globe, and it started out this way. Their story is no less remarkable for having been told over and over again. Rick was born a spastic quadriplegic with cerebral palsy, unable to walk or talk. His parents ignored the advice of doctors who said Rick's situation was hopeless and instead fought to get their son access to all kinds of activities. Continuing to quote the article from the Boston Globe, when he was 15, Rick asked his father to push him in a 5-mile fundraising road race for a local lacrosse player recently paralyzed. And as Rick told his father after their first run, "When I'm running, I don't feel handicapped." And what father would not react to that? That local 5-miler was the beginning. 37 years later, now this was back in April 2014, 37 years later, the Hoyts have run in more than 1,000 road races, marathons, triathlons, and are known throughout the world for their extraordinary athletic achievements. Now, why do I bring up Dick and Rick Hoyt on a show about career callings? Just want to make this one point. From a time standpoint, Dick Hoyt spent 37 years and hours upon hours during those years training for those 1,000 races, spending time with his son for those 1,000 races, doing whatever it took to give him his son that feeling of not being paralyzed. And I would imagine if we counted up all the time he prepared, it would equate to several years worth of preparation and racing. That father loved his son so much to do that, and our Father in heaven sent his son to die for us. In response, do we not owe that same amount of love back to our God? And when it comes to career callings, don't we have an obligation to set aside our own passions for His? Take the time to figure out what it is God wants us to do with our lives and give Him as a living sacrifice every day from this point forward? The answer is yes. CareerCallings.net/radio.